We often look at the differences that scientific research and new technology can make when it comes to the field of sight loss. Now, when we think of treatments, perhaps we think of gene therapy, stem cell treatments. What about artificial intelligence or AI? Can it crunch the numbers quicker? Can it give us other ways of looking at treatments for sight loss conditions? Well, this is something which has been done, and it's all around age-related macular degeneration. Now, to tell us more, we have with us Dr. Wenhua Li. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Alan.
Li, you are part of an organisation called Action Against AMD. Tell us more about the organisation, first of all.
Of course. Action Against Age-Related Macular Degeneration, or as we call it shorter, Action Against AMD, is a new research charity. It is actually a collaboration created by four UK sight loss charities, two of them in the research field, Fight for Sight and Macular Society. The other two are Blind Veterans UK and Scottish War Blinded. And that is very interesting collaboration, Alan, because for the first time, four different sight loss charities identified what could be or will be the largest struggle in sight loss sector, which is the challenge of age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. So they decided to join forces and create us to start tackling this problem before it becomes a much harder one to solve when a lot of people getting older hit that age where prevalence is getting higher and higher.
So is it more to do with, like you say, an aging population? We're living longer rather than any other ways that, you know, you could see an increase in certain sight loss conditions?
Correct. It's a great thing that we live in a society where people are living longer, but we also need to live healthier. One of the inevitables of living longer is that many of the diseases will start manifesting, and AMD is one of these. So presently, there's the estimated prevalence of 196 million people worldwide with any stage of AMD. That's imagine three United Kingdom full of people with the disease. It's not to say they all will lead to sight loss, but that is the starting path for that to happen. And if you think that the population is getting older, living longer, these numbers will escalate during the projection done recently by a study up to 288 million people affected with disease by 2040. That is worrying. So we would like to find a way of stopping the disease progressing into the late stage, causing sight loss.
We encourage our listeners, and encourage others beyond that, to have their eyes checked on a regular basis. Now, with AMD, there's the wet and the dry type as well. So can early intervention stop sight loss with these conditions?
We believe it can. The challenge is, Alan, we don't have any treatment approved to stop or slow the progression of early forms into the late stage. And in fact, that's very interesting you've asked that, Alan. For the late stage of this disease, you can have either dry form or the wet form. But only the wet form has any kind of treatment for that late stage condition. And that is done through a injection into the eyeball. It has to be repeated. And is a more complex procedure than just taking a pill. So in that sense, it is very expensive for the NHS. It is very inconvenient for the patient. And surprisingly, out of that 196 million people, all the people with AMD, the only treatment that exists only serves 5% of people. And that is those only at a very late stage. Instead of trying to play the catch-up game, which will become more expensive for the NHS, more inconvenient for the patient, and is really at a late stage where you already have high risk of losing your sight, why don't we start to focus on the earlier forms of disease, try to stop it from progressing? Now, you've touched a very good point about regular eyesight. That is so, so important. And I think we are a very lucky sector of the healthcare, because there's not many fields that you can have high-level, high-resolution data that can do a 3D reconstruction of the back of the retina with a 5-second scan. which is this new technology, the OCT, optical coherence tomography. So we believe that those earlier scans, together with developments in the diagnosis of those new scans that are coming out, can help us to first detect earlier signs of disease, and second, help us understand better how the disease progresses.
So technology is moving forward. The treatments, we hope, will move forward as well. Where did artificial intelligence come into the equation? How did that come about?
Excellent question. Alan, what we want to do is to create a treatment that will be at the same time convenient for the patient, that we can give in the early stage of the disease, which means that these needs to have, this new treatment that we can come up with, needs to have very little side effects, because we will be giving this to the patient for a long term. But also that important thing, that it has to be much more affordable for the society than the existing treatments for AMD. Right? However, alas, most of the programs for new drugs for in AMD go after the low-hanging fruits. Normally industry and other specialty sector call me-too drugs, which are variation of the same ones, to address the very same 5% population of the patients. In order to tackle the remaining 95% of the patients, scientists need to understand what is causing the macula, which is a tiny area at the back of the retina responsible for central vision and high-resolution vision, what causes macula to degenerate over the years in the first place. There might be multiple causes, we just don't know. But for that, we need to figure out which biological mechanisms are needed for macula to continue working, and how these different mechanisms are related, right? To give you an analogy, if we think about a car, which is very complex, it is an amalgamation, a conjunction of many different systems. You have the electric system, the fuel pumps, right? The shaft that people have to turn here and there to turn the car. So we are looking at exactly what are the biological mechanisms that make the macula work and how they relate to each other. For that, there is an incredible large amount of research on many of those biological processes, which are composed from both basic and clinical research. All of this data is published as scientific papers or as database or data sets. But the amount of data is so large that no single scientist can really read and integrate and absorb all the information alone. So in the interest of time for us, in the interest of efficiency to really trawl through the entire body of knowledge, that's why we resorted to using artificial intelligence as a tool to help us quickly integrate, bring together this large amount of information so we can sift and understand which are the mechanisms that we can modulate or regulate in order to prevent AMD from progressing.
So you use artificial intelligence, so it does the crunching of the information for you a lot quicker. Is that, in layman's terms, what it does? It takes all the information, looks at it, and then gives you an answer or answers or next steps to take?
Of course, yes. That's absolutely correct, Alan. Deep learning algorithms that actually try to pull this information, try to spot trends. Things that do repeat that we cannot see if we're just looking at a small individual paper, you see? So with that, and with our steer from many different colleagues to look at what might be the main mechanisms behind what might be causing AMD, the benevolent AI used their benevolent platform therefore to review these millions of scientific papers, clinical trial information, and other data sets related to macular degeneration to identify those critical mechanisms and also the nodes of these many pathways. So in many words, these nodes are different genes and their products. So in order to get results quickly, so for a therapy, we can look at those nodes, therefore now, Alan, and we can either design a new drug to modulate those nodes in order to stop the progression of the disease, but that is normally quite long and expensive to do. Or, in an interesting way, a different way, we can try to identify existing drugs that are already on the market, that are already being proved to be safe to the patient, which already target some of those nodes but that these drugs that were initially designed to treat other conditions. When we try to take existing drugs that were initially designed to treat other conditions and try to use in our own disease of interest, that's what we call repurposing. And Benevolent AI, using the Benevolent platform to get with many of the existing published information, we managed to crunch the data and identify 7 drugs that could potentially be repurposed to be given to early stage AMD patients. And so we can look to see whether they can stop the progression of this disease down the line.
Is that the next step then, to look at the results, these existing drugs, which takes out the whole, well, a lot of research, I would imagine, to create new ones, and look to how they can be used in a different way or in different combinations?
Correct. So the first step here, Alan, is that even though the AI, the machine learning, etc., together with the knowledge that's been generated, are pointing to these 7 drugs, we still need to first validate the theory in the lab, yes? So that cuts a lot of time for us to figure out which one we should be testing, but for starters. But we now need to test the hypothesis to see, well, if I dose this drug in different disease models, whether we can expect to see the biological pathways being changed or modified in a way that might stop or slow the progression of the disease. Once we have that piece of information, which we'll be doing in partnership with other colleagues, then we can with much more confidence say, now we have enough body of evidence to take then those 7 drugs into clinical trials. But the beauty of this, Alan, is that we didn't spend 10 years trying to come up with a new molecule for which we still need to figure out whether it's toxic or not, whether it goes to the right place in the body, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the plan, is that we try to cut down the time of development necessary. It's not to say it's the only route, but for us, it's one of the routes we're taking in order to try to make into clinical trials as fast as we can.
Lee, we're almost out of time. It's great news to hear that, one, you know, the time for research has been cut considerably, because we often talk about, you know, bench to bed time from research to actual trials can be very, very long, decades even. But also that is great news that you're looking at existing drugs working in a different way as well. If people would like to learn more about action against AMD, what's the best way to do that?
Definitely go to our webpage, which is www.actionagainstamd.org, and read about what our missions are. And then as we move forward with our program, we will be posting updates on how these new projects are progressing.
Lee, fascinating talking with you. We would love to follow the progress of this for the next steps as well. But for the moment, thank you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you so much, Alan, and to all your listeners.